Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day that's been set aside to remember those who gave their lives to pay for the freedoms that you and I enjoy today as Americans. We appreciate all those who have served and who have paid for these freedoms. We're thankful for those who continue to serve, for those who served and did not have to give their lives, but they were willing. They served with that in mind. We're thankful for that. It's first observed as Decoration Day on May 30th of 1868. That was back before most of you were born. And flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. Memorial Day was originally officially recognized in New York in 1873, and by 1890 it was recognized by all northern states. The South refused to acknowledge that day, but honored their dead on separate days until after World War I, when the holiday changed from honoring just those who died in the Civil War to honoring Americans who died fighting in any war. Memorial Day is now a national holiday, celebrated the last Monday of May. Since the National Holiday Act of 1971, it's, along with all other federal holidays, observed with a three-day weekend. Most of you appreciate that. There are many different stories about what actually inspired the original Declaration. We're not sure exactly which is responsible. A lot of different ones want to claim that as being the original. One such report that I always liked, and I've mentioned it several times, because it's an act of true compassion. It's about an elderly lady in April of 1863 in Columbus, Mississippi, who went to the cemetery to decorate the graves of her two sons who died representing their beloved Southland. After decorating the graves of her sons, she walked over to two mounds of dirt at the corner of the cemetery to place memorial flowers there also. Friends began to shout and ridicule her, ask her, "What are you doing? Those are the graves of two Union soldiers." Softly and compassionately, that mother said, "I know. I also know that somewhere in the North, a mother or a young wife mourns for them just as we do ours." What a wonderful demonstration of love and compassion. And then since 9/11, emergency personnel who died while serving have been added to the list of those we remember on Memorial Day. These are law enforcement personnel, fire department personnel, medical first responders, paramedics, EMTs, and other public servants, many of which are volunteers, volunteering their time and services to the good of their communities. These particular areas of service are becoming more and more dangerous with the increased drug use, lack of morals, and lack of value on life we see today. I receive a lot of emails reporting line of duty deaths. Speaking of line of duty and first responders, deaths and injuries in the emergency medical service or the emergency services field. Some die from gunshot wounds, stabbings, and many other, many from being hit by unattended drivers while trying to care for a patient who's been injured in an automobile accident or other situation. I've actually experienced a very close encounter while working a motor vehicle accident on Interstate 10 right out of Ponce de Leon when Jeff, my oldest son, and myself were almost hit by a, we call them rubberneckers, someone that was just looking, trying to see what was going on and not paying attention to what they were doing while they were driving, and rear-ended a vehicle that had slowed. And it was close enough that Jeff actually had some battery acid on him from the impact of the two vehicles. So it's a dangerous thing out there. A lot of people have given their lives because of that. Memorial Day is a time to remember. It's a time to remember those who died fighting for in many different wars to pay for the freedoms that we enjoy today. It's a time to remember our first responders and those who have died in service. Many of them, like our law enforcement, does not get the recognition anymore. There's, matter of fact, there's just a lot of people that want to do away with law enforcement, you know, just do away with all that. Let's just let people just run rampant and steal and kill and whatever they want to do. The law enforcement seems to be the victim. In too many cases, we've seen cases where a law enforcement officer was forced to take someone's life to protect their own life, and the law enforcement officer winds up being the victim, and the criminal winds up being the hero. You know, don't matter that they've got a rap sheet longer than both of your arms. You know, if a law enforcement officer kills them, they were just a saint, you know, and it was so uncalled for that a law enforcement officer would take somebody's life like that with no concern for the life of the law enforcement officer. I've also been very close to a situation, we call that suicide by a cop, when I was involved with a situation down below Red Bay where a fellow who had been chased off of Interstate 10 had a long, long history of problems, and actually wound up at a lady's home whom I knew and had just preached her husband's funeral a couple weeks before. And I actually saw him and stopped to check on her. He ran back to a neighbor's house, climbed up in a tree stand. That's where they found him, and he wound up being shot because he was kept saying he had a pistol and kept dropping ammunition out of his pocket. And when he snatched his hand out of his pocket, like he was going to shoot the law enforcement officer, of course the officer shot him and killed him. Suicide by cop. It's sad that so many people lose their lives unnecessarily, but we honor those who serve. There have been some wars that a lot of people have died in that we've not had a lot of real positive outcome from, but those people died serving this great United States and trying to maintain the freedoms that you and I enjoy. One of those is the freedom that we're enjoying this morning, the freedom to worship, which is being threatened nowadays and many times has been hindered. There was a lot of that, especially back a few years ago during the COVID onset, when churches were told to shut down and they couldn't have services and all, and some pastors were actually arrested because they continued to have services. Fortunately, we continue to have services here and did not close the doors and never missed a service. We're not arrested, but we're here to serve God. And so those are some of the freedoms that people died to provide for us. But some of them have we've allowed to slip away. So we need to be careful. We have an obligation to make sure that we fulfill our obligation. And one of the ways that we can do that is to pay close attention to who our politicians are, who's running for office. Find out where they stand, what they stand for, and go to the polls and vote to put people into office that will continue to support our laws and our values and our morals that this great United States of America was built upon, that many men and women have given their lives to protect. And we owe them that we would stand up for what they fought for. They fought, they paid the ultimate price to get these freedoms that we enjoy, and it's our responsibility to do all we can to maintain those freedoms and to let those who have given their lives know that we appreciate them, even though they're not here to accept that appreciation anymore. So let's thank God for our men and women who have sacrificed and given their lives. We're living in a day that Isaiah talks about. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 through 24 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." What God calls evil is evil. He is the authority, not the politicians, not the evil judges or anyone else, but God is the ultimate authority. And so let's remember those who have paid for these freedoms. Let's do all we can to maintain and to hang on to those freedoms. Reminded of the words of Lee Greenwood's song, "God Bless the USA," where he says, "And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men and women who died, who gave that right for me. And I'll gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, because there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA." I trust that you are glad that someone has acquired the freedoms that we enjoy today to be able to live in the United States of America. I'm proud to be an American. A lot of people don't seem to be, and my advice to them is, if you don't like America, then there are planes leaving here every day. Get on one and go somewhere else if you don't like America, If you don't have enough money to buy the ticket, I'm sure if you let some people know, then you can get some help, to get a plane and get out of here. Go to one of those socialist and communist countries. But don't try to bring that mess in here to us. Too many people have died to pay for the what we have here, and we're not exactly ready to give that up yet. At least a lot of us are not. Some obviously are, but I'm glad that we're in that number that is not ready to give that up. So this morning, I want to call your attention to a couple of other men who unselfishly gave their lives. They gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. As we begin to look at this scripture, we're looking in Acts chapter 6 and 7. And as we look at this scripture, we find that there was a problem in the church. Imagine that. A problem in the church. And that problem was between two different groups, the Grecians and the Hebrews. Now, the Grecians felt that their widows were being discriminated against by the Hebrews. We just learned a few weeks ago from James that there's no room for discrimination in the faith community when if you are living by faith, because faith does not discriminate. James is very clear on that. And in our study on faith, and we're not getting completely away from that this morning, because we're going to talk about a man that was full of faith. We've been talking about faith, and we will return to that, Lord willing. James's faith according to James. But this morning, because of Memorial Day, I want to talk to you about some that have paid the ultimate sacrifice. And one of those we find here in the seventh chapter of Acts. There was the problem in the first few verses of chapter 6. The Bible says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. There was a problem in the church. The two different groups, they couldn't seem to agree. Some of them were discriminating against others, or some at least felt like they were being discriminated against. And, you know, it's amazing that most of the problems of the church come from the inside. You know, most of the problems that the church experienced and is generated from inside the church, from those who are professing believers, not from the non-believers outside. You know, they're not the ones that cause the problems in the church. Most of the problems in the church come from the inside of the church. That was what was going on here. We got two different groups in the church, the Grecians and the Hebrews, and they're having problems getting along instead of putting their focus where it needs to be, which is where we need our focus today, putting our focus on Jesus Christ, on furthering the gospel and sharing the gospel with someone else. And it don't matter who it is, it don't matter what color they are, it don't matter what their status is in society or wherever. Jesus died for every one of those people, and it's our responsibility as believers to make sure that we do everything in our power to share the gospel to that individual, to make sure that that individual knows how to be saved, so that that individual knows how to enjoy the benefits that God has for them here and now. Jesus said, I've come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. He's talking about now, not just in eternity. He wants you to have the benefits here and now in this life. He wants to protect you and provide for you. And it's amazing how much we give up, how many blessings we give up, just because we're not obedient to Him, just because we won't put our faith and trust in Him and allow Him to live in and through us and begin to really bless us like He wants to bless us. I want to tell you, there's some great blessings that are available for those who will genuinely believe, that they will put their faith and trust in Him. And we've talked about faith and what faith actually is. It's not just believing about somebody. You remember? James said the devils also believe and tremble. It's we believe, we trust, and we commit. It's three parts that are involved in a genuine biblical faith is believing the gospel, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He did in fact give His life to pay for our sins, and trusting Him in that and committing our lives to Him and allowing Him to live in and through us. And so we put our faith in Him and believe Him. And so when we do that, then we eliminate a lot of these problems that were going on that we're reading about in Acts. You know, because when we've genuinely put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, as James reminded us, there's no room for discrimination. You know, we're going to treat everyone the same. And so there's no discrimination like what's going on there, that the Grecians felt like their widows were not being treated fairly and taken care of. When we have genuinely put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it eliminates that, because we're going to love everybody, and we're going to see everybody as Jesus sees them, as another person that Jesus died on the cross to pay the sins of, and we're going to do what we can to introduce that person to Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. That is not just a suggestion, but it's a commandment that Jesus gives us, that wherever we go, that we're telling people about Jesus Christ, we're sharing the good news, the gospel, we're baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. Wherever we go, we're teaching them to observe all things whatsoever He said, I have commanded you. And so we have that responsibility. And so we know that there was some problems here in this church, because there was some discrimination being shown. And so the leaders, the pastors, were not able to take care of all those needs, seeing to all the needs of the widows and the orphans. You know, a lot of people think the pastor's the one responsible for doing everything in the community. That's not the way it is. You know, the pastor is to set the example. The pastor's not exempt from serving the community. The pastor is to set the example, but he's not the only one that's supposed to be out there in the community meeting the needs of the people in the community. That's every believer. That's a responsibility of every one of us as believers, is to see the needs of those in our community and around about us. And so we're to see to their needs. We're to meet their needs. We're to help them. And ultimately, we're to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. And we're to do that in the way we live our life every day of the week, not just on Sunday morning. And so, because of the problems that existed there, the pastors were needing, they saw a need for help in taking care of the needs of those, of the widows and orphans, so that they could continue to devote more time in preparing and preaching and sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, as we see then, we get to our scripture there in chapter 6, where because of this problem, verse 3 says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. This is what we refer to and understand as the appointing of the first deacons in the church. Not people that were good at finances, that could run the church, but people who could serve. And that's what a deacon is a servant. And so here that was where that all began. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, the business of taking care of the needs of the community. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Here we talk about Stephen as one of those that we remember in Memorial Day. Stephen, because Stephen gave his life for the gospel. Here we see that he was considered a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. We've been talking about faith and the importance of faith. And here, Stephen is recognized as a man that's full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And again, faith and power down in the eighth verse, it says that he's a man full of faith and power. And so, as we think about that faith, and we see this man, Stephen, who is a man that was full of faith in the Holy Ghost, what a way to be remembered. What a way to be remembered. You know, we're all going to be remembered for something. You know, when your name comes up, somebody will say, oh yeah, that, you know, he was, he was a great upstanding citizen in the community, or, you know, he was always there to help, or, yeah, he was all right. You know, he kept himself, didn't have anything to do with anybody else, or, you know, but we're all going to be remembered in one way or another. You know, when your name comes up, people remember certain things about you that stand out. Wouldn't it be great to be remembered as a man or woman full of faith and of the Holy Ghost? When your name comes up, that they'd say, oh yeah, I remember him. I remember her. You know, man, she was always a woman of faith. She always believed and trusted. You know, she lived by faith. It was obvious in her life. It was obvious in his life. You know, they were not troubled all the time and worried to death about what they were going to do, you know, because of this situation or that situation. They always met the situation head on, just believing and knowing that God's going to take care of us in this situation. You know, and that's God's promise. If we put our faith and trust in Him, that He will take care of us and He'll carry us through that situation. He don't remove every obstacle from us. If He did, we'd be spiritual weaklings, you know. But He allows us to face those obstacles, but He don't allow us to face them alone unless we put Him aside. He'll be right there with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the world. He'll go through those situations with you. He will remove a lot of the obstacle. He will defeat a lot of the obstacles for you if you'll just put your faith and trust in Him. And if you'll just allow Him to, He'll lead you and tell you what path to go. Remember what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And so, when we have faith in God, genuine faith in God, we just allow Him to direct us, and we follow His direction, His will, and His way, and He'll always take care of us. That's the way Stephen was. Stephen wasn't afraid to face whatever he had to face. He wasn't afraid to face a bunch of men that were throwing rocks. As a matter of fact, he gave his life because they stoned him to death because of his faith. Because he did not compromise his faith He didn't water it down. He didn't try to step around the truth and you know, make everything sound pretty. He told it just like it was. And that's the way we need to be telling it, is just like it is. And, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. You know? If the Bible's speaking to you in your situation and you're not living according to what the Word says, then do something about it. You know? Do what He's called you to do. Don't get mad at the messenger. You know? Just listen to the message and do what God's called you to do. And so, here, Stephen was chosen as one of the first deacons because he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He was a man that was not ashamed of the gospel. He went all the way back. He spoke to those, to the council in chapter 7 when he was confronted and the high priest confronted him and said, "Hey, are all these accusations true?" He was faced with some accusation there in the latter part of chapter 6. Again, verse 9, "There arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And then they suborned men, which said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, 'This man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law.'" Does that sound familiar? Does that not sound a lot like when Jesus Christ was falsely accused? You know, they had to get false witnesses because no one could truthfully accuse him of any wrongdoing. So it had to be false witnesses. And here we find they go out and get false witnesses against Stephen, to witness against him, to try to shut him up and to try to get him thrown out. And so the high priest asked him there in the first verse of chapter 7, "Were these things so?" And then Stephen preached to them. He shared the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, with his accusers, going all the way back to Abraham to make his accusers see how God had been working to provide for their salvation. He told them how Joseph's brothers persecuted him and sold him, and how God used Joseph to be their Savior. He told them how Moses was born when all boy babies were being killed, and how he was brought up in Pharaoh's house, the one who was trying to kill him. He told how God used Moses to lead the children of Israel and right on up to Jesus Christ. He shared the gospel. Stephen was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Scripture says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God and the salvation." The gospel is the power of God and the salvation. And so Stephen was a man who would not compromise because he was a man of faith. He had no reason to compromise. And he had no reason to water down the gospel. Just like opponents of Jesus who instructed people to give false testimony. You know, Stephen was a recipient of that. But Stephen did not compromise his faith in the gospel. He was a man who prayed for his accusers. You know, that's a hard thing for us sometimes. We think about those that do all manner of things to try to destroy us. You know, they'll tell all kind of lies on you. They'll falsely accuse you of things, try to get you fired from your job, try to get your friends to turn their back on you. You know, all kind of lies. There's all kinds of things told to destroy marriages, you know. Like, hey, man, I saw your wife down there in so-and-so's house the other day, you know. Or I saw your husband over at such-and-such place the other day. I saw him with some other girl. Wasn't you, you know. All the lies that are told just to try to destroy people. And that's not God's way. So it's hard sometimes for us to pray for those that despitefully use us, those that falsely accuse us, that say things that are hurtful to us. But what did Stephen do? Stephen, when he was being stoned to death, he said, as Jesus did, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen said, Lord, don't lay this charge against them. What a great testimony of his faith in Jesus. And Stephen gave his life. He was stoned to death. He gave his life for the gospel's sake. And asked forgiveness for those who had stoned him. In the very last part of chapter number 7, verse number 59 and 60, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Jesus was hanging on the cross, looking out across that crowd who had just beaten him beyond recognition, had hanged him on that cross, had falsely accused him, they'd lied about him, they'd spat on his face, all manner of things, unspeakable things that they had done to Jesus Christ. And as he looked out on those people, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a memorial. What a memorial that Stephen, you know, to be able to stand there looking out at those who were stoning him to death and say, God, don't charge them. They don't understand what they're doing. Forgive them. Forgive them. We have had many people, men, women, give their lives for us, for the freedoms that we enjoy in this great United States. There have been a lot of Christian martyrs, like Stephen, who were martyred, who were killed for their faith, never compromising their faith. He didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend y'all. You know, it'd be okay. You live like you want to. It'd be okay. That's what a lot of preachers are doing now. You know, hey, it's all right. God loves us all. We're all going to go to heaven one day because God's not going to send anybody to hell. So just go live like you want to. And people are dying and going to hell every day, and their blood is going to be on that preacher's hand that's telling them a lie that we're all going to heaven one day. Yes, God does love you. And he is absolutely not going to send you to hell. If you go to hell, you will go on your own accord because he has paid for your escape. He's paid for your sin. You can accept his payment for your sin and be forgiven and commit your life to him and go spend eternity with Him in heaven and begin to enjoy the benefits of it now. Or you can reject Him and choose to spend eternity in hell. But God's not going to send you to hell. You'll send yourself to hell if you go to hell. But everybody is not going to heaven. It's just not true. You know, Jesus clarifies that. God's Word clarifies that. He talks about the two different ways. There's a wide road that a whole lot of people is on because it's the easy route. You know, that's the way everybody else is going, so it's easier to go that way. And there's a lot of people on that road, and it leads to destruction. It leads to hell. And then there's another straight and narrow path that not many people are on. It's not a crowded path. It leads to life eternal. So, the Bible says that not everybody's going to heaven. It says that most people are going to miss heaven because they're choosing to go their own way and do their own thing. What about you today? There are a lot of people that we need to be thankful for. We need to be thankful for all those who have served this great United States. Those who have paid the ultimate price so that we could have the freedoms that we enjoy today. Like the freedom of coming here and worshiping God today. We need to be thankful for all of them. We need to be thankful for those who continue to serve. We also need to be thankful for those Stephens, those who have given their life uncompromisingly for the gospel. And we need to follow that example. We need to put our faith in God and not compromise that. We need to live for Him and enjoy the benefits and the blessings that He so much wants to pour out upon us. I said it many times before. We as physical parents want to do a lot of things for our children. We want to bless them in every way we can. But a lot of times we're not able to do that because our children rebel against us. They won't do what we've asked them to do, and so we can't bless them for being rebellious. Although we'd love to bless them, they miss out on a lot of blessings because of they want to do it their way. And so many of us miss out on a lot of blessings because we want to do it our way. And God's saying, okay, you know, it's your choice. I sure would like to bless you, but I'm not going to bless unfaithfulness. You know. So the difference is, a lot of things we'd like to do as physical parents, we're not actually able to do because we're not financially able or whatever the case might be. Nothing's impossible with God, so God can bless us beyond our imagination. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. Don't spend the whole day partying or spending time with family or whatever. That's all good to spend time with family. That's great. Quality family time is great. But don't spend the day without thinking about those who paid for the freedoms that you enjoy as an American citizen. And don't spend the day, any day, without thanking God for those who have set the example before us. An example of faithfulness, who were faithful to share the gospel with us, tell us about Jesus Christ. And let's carry that on by being faithful to share it with those that we come in contact with. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us and blessing us. Thank you for the great men and women, Lord, who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. Lord, there are so many families that are hurting even today because of a loved one who gave him his life or her life. fighting for the freedoms that we enjoy here. Lord, there's not a family that's not been touched in one way or another with a family member or a close friend that has sacrificed their life serving this great nation. Father, thank you for all of those, and we pray for all those families, Lord, who continue to mourn the passing of a loved one or are still missing that loved one. Lord, we pray for comfort, the comfort of the Holy Spirit to be with them. Lord, I thank you for men like Stephen and others that were faithful to you, that have set an example for us to follow. Being faithful to you, uncompromising, Lord, never being ashamed of the gospel, but standing true to the end. Help us, Lord, to follow that example and to enjoy the blessings that you have in store for us. Lord, if there's one here today who's not prepared, not ready, never trusted Jesus to be Savior, allow him to become Lord of our life, I pray that today would be that day that that person would come to know you in a personal way. Whatever the needs are, Lord, help us not to hold back, but to surrender you today. In Jesus' name and for your sake we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. While the music's playing, if God's spoken to you, if there's something that you need to take care of, maybe you're here and you say, well, I've never really asked Jesus to forgive me and save me. Come live in my heart, and I'd like to do that today. Just slip out from where you are and come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me. Confess it to God. Maybe you're here and you've done that, but you've not made it public. You need to do that. Maybe you need to recommit your life. Maybe God's leading you to come identify with this church, join this church. Whatever the need, if God's spoken to you, you need to move right now. Anyone, quickly, while we wait just a moment. We're not going to tarry. We're going to give you an opportunity if God's spoken to your heart.